"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Welcome, everybody. The show is now heard from 1 till 4. So if you do not catch it all live, you can always pick it up on the iHeartRadio app. Just download the podcast. It's also available at KFIAM640.com for you to check out.
And it tends to make more sense the second time you hear it, too.
Steve Gregory's laughing now.
Yes.
Sorry. That was funny.
You, by the way, you have to listen to you twice to make sense. So.
Join the crowd.
Steve is here to talk about another murder of a Riverside County Sheriff's deputy just a couple of weeks after Isaiah Cordero was shot to death on duty. We now have another deputy who was killed Friday afternoon, Darnell Calhoun.
Yeah, this is, I mean, I watched Chad Bianco talk about this in front of the hospital on Friday night, or in front of the station out there Friday night, and he was just, you could just tell he's got this sort of combined anger and just emotional frustration over the loss of a second deputy in 2 weeks. And they hadn't had a deputy-involved death or an in-line-of-duty death in 20 years. And now he's had 2 in 2 weeks. Mm.
And he believes it's the climate of what we have going on with our justice system. A lot of these guys are out there loose.
Between that and the fact that he said that there is a, I'm paraphrasing him when he said there's a wave of people out there now who have absolutely no care whatsoever for other people, for human life, and that they just choose to solve their issues with weapons and violence. And he said that's what they're facing now. The call came at around 4:20 Friday afternoon. Deputy Darnell Calhoun was dispatched to a domestic violence call in an unincorporated area of Lake Elsinore. And when Deputy Calhoun arrived, he got out of his vehicle and approached the house. And Bianco said that's when someone just opened fire on the deputy, striking him.
From where? From inside the house or outside the house?
From inside the house. Someone just started opening fire. And then by the time Calhoun retreated, backup was on its way. And then the other deputies engaged in gunfight and then were able to injure the shooter, who's been described now as 42-year-old Jesse Navarro. And he still is in the hospital in critical condition. But then when that happened on Friday afternoon, I started getting real-time texts from sources out in that area. And they were giving me this kind of blow-by-blow description of what was happening, and it was just so heart-wrenching. They said they rushed Calhoun to the hospital, and that when he got there, he had flatlined. So he was already had no heartbeat when he got to the hospital. They had to open up his chest. They were doing CPR on him. They were working on him. They put him into surgery. And that the one account I had, it, he had been hit in his femoral artery and in essence basically bled out.
And quickly, right? And that's the one in your thigh, right?
Yeah, and then he was not able to recover from that. So that happened just very quickly. It all happened so fast. And a lot's been made now about this. There's drone video now. Someone had the foresight to launch a drone about a block or so away from the action, and you can see it now. It's pretty, now that you have context to it, because if you see it, you wouldn't really know what was going on. There's no
sound. It captured the whole shooting or just like the later part?
The later part, just right after.
Yeah.
Oh, had they heard, on a police scanner probably, that there was action going on?
Well, you probably heard sirens and gunfire, and then someone probably launched the drone. But but at this point, Sheriff Bianco says, what should have been a normal Friday night, he says, now I'm having to plan a second deputy funeral. And Calhoun had just transferred over, since they transferred, but he left the San Diego Police Department just about a year ago, just coming up under a year ago, and transferred over to the Riverside County Sheriff's Department. So he had
two sons and another child on the way.
Yeah. Wow. Young man. And there will be a vigil tonight at, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at the Sheriff's Department's Lake Elsinore Station. That's tomorrow evening on Limited Avenue. And then there'll be another one on Wednesday evening at 5:30 in the city of Murrieta at the amphitheater there in the Town Square Park, because Calhoun's parents own a barbecue restaurant in Murrieta.
So yeah, people are showing up there to pay respects. I saw that.
Yeah, and there's also a fundraising effort underway, and they've raised more than $100,000 for the family already.
Well, what do we know about the killer?
What about this Navarro guy? I'm seeing something about a child custody matter.
Yeah, so it was a child custody argument that sort of sparked the whole thing. The thing is they've not released any information on him. So, and the thing that we're missing right now is a birth date and a couple vitals from him, and then we can cross-reference and check his background. But that's what we're waiting for.
And he was shot.
Yes, he was, presumably shot because he's in critical condition.
This happened on Friday, so after 3 days, why aren't they giving out the information?
Well, it's a weekend. And frankly,
today's a holiday, John.
And not only that, frankly, you have the death of a deputy. That's not a priority. The information on the shooter's not a priority right now. The priority is getting this department back to where it needs to be and making sure the deputies are fine and, there's a lot more to this than just knowing more about the shooter.
There have been a number of cops over the years shot covering domestic disputes. Is there a way to approach the front door differently? Because often the boyfriend or the husband is enraged, and at the sign of a cop, they start shooting. I mean, it happened
the number one
last year, I remember.
As many years as I've been covering cops, and the one thing that they all tell me, it's very similar. The thing that they are mentally preparing for is it all boils down to what the call was. So if they get a 911 call from someone who says, I'm being threatened, my boyfriend / husband has a gun, my wife has a gun or a weapon, the officers are approaching the scene already knowing that there's a weapon involved. That's a lot of times why there's a lot of miscommunication on the scene, and that's why sometimes unarmed people get shot, because a bystander called 911 and described it as a weapon. So now dispatch sends it to officers. They're arriving on scene thinking there's a weapon. So there's already all this stuff that officers and deputies have to go through in their mind to figure it out when they get on scene. But more to your point, most domestic violence issues, when they rise to the level of calling 911, there's some sort of violence involved, or at least some pretty imminent threats happening. Mm-hmm. So deputies already know when they get there, there's probably going to be some sort of escalation. But they get there with the intent of trying to de-escalate the situation. I don't know whether he was aware there might have been a weapon. We haven't heard the 911 call yet. But I can tell you that every deputy and every officer is trained to, approach with caution. But if you get out of the car and you're walking around the car and you're just starting to walk up to the sidewalk and you start getting shot, I don't know that you see that coming.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of the El Monte police officers who went to answer a domestic violence call at that hotel, and they got ambushed too. That guy just came flying out of the hotel room and shot both of them. These guys do this. I don't know what we're going to find on this suspected shooter, but sometimes they do it in a desperate attempt to get away because they got some really bad criminal background and they don't want to be detained again.
That's why I'm suspicious when a guy jumps out and ambushes a cop right at the start. You know, what was on his record?
Yeah, he's not ready to explain anything about what's going on. He's going to shoot his way out of there, right?
Like a third strike situation?
And odds are that he does not have a concealed weapons permit.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's another good point.
And so that's why I get suspicious about no information coming out for 3 days.
Well,
because you know, politically, this is getting embarrassing for a lot of people.
Well, let me tell you, but the sheriff, based on Isaiah Cordero, the deputy from 2 weeks ago, the sheriff has no problem telling it how it is. He has no issue. If there was something bad he wanted to talk about, that's why on the other day when he said we have a wave of people now that just don't have any care for human life, they choose violence as their option, that was sort of his way of already denouncing what had happened. But he even said on Friday night, we don't have all the details, we don't have a clearer picture. On the issue with Cordero, that was real-time radio traffic. Everyone knew what was going on in real time, and even the sheriff was involved in that car chase.
Right.
So he knew in real time what was happening. This was one of those that he didn't hear about it till after the fact.
Right.
So he didn't have the same kind of intel at the same time that he did on Cordero.
Okay.
All right, Steve.
Good stuff.
Thank you very much for that full report. Steve Gregory, KFI News. It's the shooting death of another Riverside County Sheriff's deputy. His name was Darnell Calhoun. And he was murdered Friday afternoon answering a domestic violence call. Looks like a child custody issue. And the suspected shooter, this Jesse Navarro, just came running out of the house or just shot him from inside the house and then tried to get away, but eventually was shot by police officers, as far as we know, in critical condition. We'll be watching this story to see what we can find out about the suspected shooter's criminal background and the reasons he may have been loose. As John said, they have a reason now to try to keep this low key for as long as they can, because it'd be damaging not to the sheriff's department, but to possibly prosecutors and others involved in the criminal justice system. John and Ken, KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. The banks are closed. We can't get any money. So the keyword returns tomorrow. Oh, if you're looking for the 220 word, you'll have to wait 24 hours.
Yeah, that's right. We can't pay your bills today. Maybe tomorrow.
Because nobody works here today but us. So therefore, they can't process your win. I don't know. Does that sound good? They're at the parades. They're doing community service, as John said.
That's right. Yeah, most of the staff is doing community service.
What, like fixing your tree that fell on your house? Or?
Yeah. We're still watching this tree.
Still watching on it. Because it's windy this afternoon.
I know. And now the winds are coming out of the west, and that's not the good direction.
Nobody's sleeping in that bedroom anymore?
My wife isn't, no.
No, just you.
Just me.
Yeah, you'll be the first to hear the canary in the coal mine.
I don't like my routine disrupted, so if I have to take the tree, I'll take the tree.
I don't care if a plane falls on me, I'm sleeping here.
That's right.
We were just talking about the shooting death of another Riverside County Sheriff's deputy. Also making news today, and this happens in a farming community in Tulare County. The sheriff there says that six people, including a six-month-old baby and her teenage mother and an old woman, were killed in what looks like an execution. 3:30 in the morning, in and around three neighboring residences. It's the town of Goshen, near, if you know where Visalia is. They're searching for two suspects. Apparently, there was a search warrant last week at this same home dealing with drugs. So they believe, because that search resulted in the arrest of one person, and they grabbed some guns, some marijuana, and meth. And the county sheriff up there, Mike Boudreau, said, I think this is connected to the cartel. This was not your run-of-the-mill, low-end gang member that did this.
They executed a six-month-old baby?
They did.
Yeah, that's
cartel. They left her in the arms of her mother in a ditch outside the homes.
That's cartel behavior.
Gunshot wounds right to the head.
No, that's...
So you make no mistake about it.
No, the cartel murders are really savage.
Yeah.
Really just in unspeakably savage. They do things to the human body you just cannot fathom.
Two women did survive by hiding in a trailer home. They told investigators that people on the property saw intruders approaching on surveillance cameras. That's also something you do if you're involved in this kind of business. You have all sorts of surveillance cameras set up so you can see anybody coming up on you. They could see two men sneaking onto the property, but by the time they came on the video feed, it was too late to do anything. The door of one home was kicked or pushed in. One man shot in the doorway. The teenage mother was trying to run away with the child when she was killed. And we know there's a lot of this going up on farm territory. Mm. A lot of cartel marijuana grow operations.
Massive amount of land the cartels now are. I don't know if they own it or they conquered it. And because the California pot legalization experiment failed so badly from a business standpoint.
From like every standpoint, right? Yeah. The taxes are too high, so they didn't collect any. A lot of people decided to do it illegally and get involved in the whole grow operations and just go around legalized rules.
Too many taxes, too many regulations. You cannot compete with the underground market, which the cartels own. And now there's a huge demand. The demand got even bigger once they legalized it. So the cartel swooped in.
Yeah.
And they can easily put the legitimate farmers and dealers out of business.
The county only has about 500,000 people. It's an agricultural area. It has always played a role in moving drugs from Mexico to markets around the United States. In fact, I think we talked about this area. Remember those two guys that were smuggling? I think it was meth in their car. They came down from like Oregon and they got stopped in this county and they couldn't be held. The judge let them go, right? So they'll just go back out and do this again.
Yeah. Well,
it has a heavy mobile population of farm workers, but it's been a smuggler's paradise since at least the 1970s. Now it's moved into more of meth and the cultivation of marijuana, legal and illegal.
If you don't stop anything right away, it'll only grow and get worse. And we are so bad at dealing with bad guys and threats. Everything metastasizes.
All right, now we have some good news for Deborah Mark.
I need some good news, Ken.
The show's vegan and animal protector. Guess what? Effective January 1, drug companies do not have to do any more animal testing
Woo-hoo!
To get approval. However, before you get too excited, it's probably going to continue. Yeah, John's going to lower the boom, right?
Yeah.
What, John?
Well, it just means they don't have to.
Have to.
It used to be a requirement to get approval. But
it is no longer a requirement, but apparently they still have, it says here, research tools and computer algorithms that have been developed over the last 10 to 15 years still have gaps to make it difficult to stop the animal testing overnight.
And if their alternate way of testing doesn't satisfy the FDA, then the drug
then
will get approved.
Then they have to go back to the animals.
Right.
I'm sure they can figure out an alternative way that will be okay by the FDA.
Animal studies help provide a measure of security that a drug could be effective and probably isn't extremely dangerous. But in the story here, it says they're not foolproof. Roughly 90% of drugs that are shown safe and effective in animals turn out not to work as planned in people.
Okay, so then what's the point?
No, that could take many different turns, though.
Well, because
not work out as planned just means maybe they weren't effective at treating whatever the ailment was. Doesn't mean they kill people, but there'd be a whole host of reasons why.
Yeah, but then they're harming the animals or killing the animals for really no good reason.
They're also breeding the animals just for that purpose.
Yeah, I know. Does
that make it better or worse?
the animals wouldn't exist anyway without the industry.
So why would they want to exist if they're just going to be tested on?
Well, they don't know that they exist.
No, I know.
I mean, mice don't have a sense of consciousness.
I know, but we do.
Some of us do.
One place where we could see this change come is one of your favorites, John, Botox. Do you know that every year millions of mice are treated with a lethal dose of botulinum toxin to test the potency of each batch of the toxin?
Right. Just so wealthy women don't have wrinkles.
That's right.
All right. I'm with you on that. We shouldn't be
killing mice for Botox.
Mice for Botox, yeah.
They think they can replace the mice with cells in a dish, but that won't happen for a year or two.
It's all for the wealthy women's foreheads.
But John's right. They breed the mice for the purpose, so it doesn't mean they're going to be a lot more mice still in the world.
I mean, mice are kind of at the bottom of my hierarchy, Ken.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I still...
I didn't know you had one.
I do.
It came up the other day. I was talking with her off the air, and the hierarchy came up, and I didn't know you had one either. What animal were we talking about where you were cool with its demise?
Well, yeah. Wasn't it an insect? Was it an insect?
Well, you were crushing ants at your house.
Oh, that's... They were ants.
Oh,
that's
yeah, you
what
had
was.
Some sort ants. Of ant invasion, right?
I did.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
I had COVID, not only did I have to deal with COVID, but I had an ant infestation. So, yes, I did get rid of the ants.
There was this ant genocide at her house.
Yes.
And she showed no remorse.
I did not. I said, I do not like ants.
And I was saying those ants have mothers and fathers.
Yeah, and I said, okay.
And children.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
There you go.
Look, I'm hypocritical. I've admitted that in many facets of my life. I'm big enough to...
Well, you're not big enough.
to admit it. I know. That's why I paused. I was trying to think of something more appropriate, but it didn't work out.
Do you know these research monkeys, they cost between $4,000 and $5,000 each to buy. Ooh. And then you have to house and
feed
them. Oh,
the monkeys?
Yeah, the research monkeys, yeah.
Well, that's why you use mice. Mice are about a nickel each.
Right, but I think monkeys are better predictors.
Oh, yeah.
This was studies for HIV and COVID-19.
Yeah, well,
they
because
think that they get better out of that.
Those are our cousins.
Do you know that song, Shock the Monkeys? I forgot who sings that.
Peter Gabriel.
Okay, that's right. I can't listen to that song for this reason. I turn it off every single time.
Okay.
I just had to throw it. It just popped into my brain when you're talking about monkeys and being experimented on.
It doesn't mean literally they're shocking monkeys.
I just cannot.
Yeah, I thought it was an expression of
the
song. Right?
I couldn't. I still to this day. I mean, it's that. What was that? An 80s song? I still to this day I turn it off.
No, I thought it was like one of those euphemisms for self-pleasure.
That Spank the Monkeys.
Oh, right.
Because that was a movie or something years ago.
Spank the Monkeys.
Spank the Monkey.
It's
Spank.
Yeah, it's not Shock. All right. We've taken a real dive here. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app. Did she leave? Did she
Ken, are you talking? I wasn't listening. Did I miss something?
Yeah, you're offended by that song because you think it actually means that a monkey's getting shocked.
I hate that song.
I just looked it up, and he said it had something to do with letting jealousy, releasing your innermost primitive feelings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
analogy.
That's what he said. He wrote the song, so.
Okay, then I will listen to it again if you're being truthful.
Yeah, he was actually experimenting on monkeys when he did the song.
No, I didn't say he was experimenting. I thought he was talking about...
He's advocating it.
I didn't even say he was advocating it. I was just saying it reminded me of monkeys being experimented on, so I couldn't listen to it.
It's not a lab worker shouting as assistant.
I didn't say it was. I said it reminded me. It made me feel like...
Okay, all right. Mm.
Your feelings are important.
Exactly.
All right, we're now on from 1 to 4, so if you can't listen live, pick up the show on the iHeartRadio app. Available on the iHeartRadio app, the podcast, also at KFIAM640.com. We'll be talking to David Goldstein from CBS2 Channel 9, Investigative Reports. It's a pretty good one about the LA Unified School District and how they badly overspent. That's coming up after the news at 3 o'clock. Now, China on Saturday shocked the world by actually reporting people dying from COVID. And they started to relax some of their crazy over-the-top zero COVID restrictions in early December. They're now telling us in just 5 weeks, 60,000 people died in that country from COVID. Now, the pictures that came out of the country did lend some support to this. There were overcrowded hospital pictures, and then there was crematoriums were packed. People's remains were being burned anywhere they could burn them. So, but, you know, that's more anecdotal. But now they're admitting, although people think even that number is probably low.
Well, I mean, they lied for 3 years claiming they had virtually nobody die of COVID.
Now it's 54,000 people who died from other ailments combined with COVID. You always have to keep that in mind. Because as John likes to say, they probably would have croaked anyway in a few months.
Yeah, you know what they're looking at now as a more accurate indicator of COVID deaths is excess deaths above the average over the last 3 years, because they think there's a lot of inaccuracy. Let's use a neutral word there. There were a lot of people who died with COVID who didn't die of COVID, that sort of thing.
And how are we ever going to separate those out? I'm hoping 10 years from now we'll get the real statistics on all of this.
Yeah.
People that died with COVID, not of COVID. But once a person's dead and they write that down on the death certificate, how are you going to ever know whether COVID killed them or whether or not they just died with COVID?
In an individual case, you probably won't. But as COVID fades out, or at least COVID deaths fade out and the statistics revert to normal, you'll always have that bump in the middle on the chart. Yeah. For 2020, 2021, 2022, and you take the differential between normal death rate in a country and then that 3-year bump, and you can assume those were the COVID deaths. you know, right. give or take a few percent.
Yeah. Well, there was a story last week that Chinese travelers are very anxious to finally see other parts of the world, and it's making countries like South Korea nervous. Their number one destinations tend to be in Southeast Asia. Some people come to the U.S., but not like they go to Thailand and countries like South Korea. And apparently they're getting pretty worked up there that they're going to have a lot of people coming into their country with COVID. China's trying to say now that the infections have peaked, that they're seeing a decline. I mean, if you believe this number, the daily number of people going to the clinics for COVID symptoms was 3 million on December 23rd. They now say it's fallen down to 477,000.
The Chinese vaccines largely didn't work. And they didn't.
That's what I've been hearing, and that's been a problem for them, right?
They didn't buy the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Those two
And not the Russian vaccine? Did that one work? Because you got that one.
The Russian vaccine worked for me, but I don't think they sold it much outside of...
Yes, unlike Deborah Mark, we've never had official COVID.
You don't want it.
I don't want it. And I'm not trying to wear it as a badge of honor, but we had good Russian vaccines.
Yes, you did.
No, yeah, you know what?
John did, I didn't.
You thought I was crazy when I got the Russian vaccine.
I did. Well, I still think you're crazy.
Well, from a guy in the lobby in a trench coat? Who told you to bend over?
The trench coat had been something else.
Oh, okay. He's exposing himself to you. Wow.
Look, we were all desperate, right? We were all scared. We did what we had to do.
The idiocy, though, has reached another frantic level. The latest variant is, good Lord, XBB.1.5. But they're calling it the Kraken subvariant, right? Like, release the Kraken, that old...
Well, that's a... I was just reading about that this morning, and I forgot what it is. That's a mythical sea monster.
It is a mythical sea monster, yes. It was in some of these movies years ago when one of the gods would say, release the Kraken! And this big monster
would come out. Oh, that's where it came from?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not much for mythology.
It's also the name of a hockey team, isn't it?
Up in Seattle, yeah. It's a new expansion team.
And a rum brand.
Oh, you know what? That's really good. Kraken rum?
Yeah.
Oh, that is excellent rum.
Why don't you all get drunk together one night on Kraken rum? And then get the Kraken COVID. And then go to a Kraken hockey game.
You know what? That's probably
It's a great word.
It's a good night.
Yeah, exactly right. But who gave it this variant name? I mean,
well, remember when they were doing the Greek alphabet?
Yes, that's right.
Delta, Omicron. And,
right.
They ran out of letters, so I think now they went to...
Well, they skipped some, remember that? Because they could be considered offensive.
Yeah, which was the offensive
one? I have to remember, but they skipped a few letters because they were worried about... And now you remember. It's a two-year-old story.
What
but
a
you remember.
Silly, feeble society. Oh, we don't want to offend people by naming a virus out of a Greek letter. Are these Roman monsters or Greek monsters? I always got bored when I heard this kind of stuff when I was a kid.
The Kraken's a giant squid.
It is a squid? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a giant squid.
But what?
It's like pirate
mythology. Well, that'd still be a sea monster because you don't have squid grow that large, right? You don't normally, do you?
And there's another one, Cerebus. They named Cerebus. Another variant.
Oh, man.
Which is another monster. If I got the pronunciation right.
Right. Yeah, I was just looking at the Greek alphabet here. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta. Yeah, I don't see the offensive one, but I thought there was something. Yeah, then you jumped all the way to Omicron. Pi. Remember, pi was considered the pi variant.
It's hard to be afraid of pi.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
We're on from 1 until 4, 1 until 4. And then after 4, you can go right to the podcast in case you missed anything. It's at the iHeartRadio app or the KFI website. John and Ken On Demand is the name of it. So there's no excuse.
You'll love it. It sounds just like this, like we're talking right now.
By the end of the day,
no new content, is there?
No, it's the same. It's the same content. If it sucked the first time, it'll suck the second time.
Or as you said before, you may have to listen to it twice to make sense of it.
It may play better the second time.
Yeah, you're right. Listen to the show live, then listen to the podcast so you can make sense of it more.
We also
talk very fast.
Right. Well, I think you can.
Slow us down a bit.
You can online, I think, slow down audio.
I just want you to... David Goldstein is joining us after 3 o'clock, and he's got a good report for tomorrow's KCAL News Mornings at 7 a.m. Did you know that, John? Brand new. Their new morning show, KCAL News Mornings.
They've actually changed the name of the channel. It's not known as KCAL 9 anymore. It's known as KCAL News.
Is that right?
They have so many news hours during the day. I just looked this up yesterday because I actually saw David Goldstein's promo. I was watching the Channel 9 newscast, and they said KCAL 9 is now KCAL News, and they have a logo in the corner that says KCAL News.
Does that mean it's all news all the time?
It's a lot of news, and if it's not
news... A few judge shows.
It's judge shows, yes. It's like news and judges is the format.
Well, I tuned in last week to CBS 2 at 11 a.m., but it was the KCAL News crew doing the news at 11 a.m. on Channel 2. I was a little thrown off.
Well, yeah, they've been merged.
I know they're co-owned, yeah.
Yeah, they've been merged for a while.
I know, but maybe.
Is that the brand name now for all the
Yeah, it said KCAL News on the bottom of the screen.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, David will know.
He can sort this out. Well, he's going to tell us about some wasted money at LA Unified with all the learning loss and all the other problems. This is a good one coming up at 3:05. All right, you know when you're at the airport and you're waiting to board your flight, the lady with the microphone is getting ready to allow people to board, right? We'll start with our pre-boarding. Those traveling with small children. All right, you know that one?
Yes.
Active or retired members of the military. You know that one, right?
Yes.
Are you ready for the new one? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Those with potentially life-threatening food allergies can now board the flight early. And you might be thinking right now, are you kidding me? No. Apparently, they're allowed to, but many airlines are not letting them. The Department of Transportation has mandated access to pre-boarding and other policies for passengers with allergies. Why? Are you going to ask why?
Why?
Well, so they can get to their seat early and start cleaning up.
Well, isn't the airline supposed to clean up?
That's not... People with food allergies don't think that's good enough. They want to do their own cleaning.
That's also... Well, yeah, but that's going to be a scam. If you want to board early, just claim you have a food allergy. How are they
I've already done
otherwise?
It. You've already... Well, I'm going to do it. An estimated 26 million adults and nearly 6 million children have food allergies. Here's the list. Shellfish. Well, you have a problem with... What is it? Salmon?
Yeah, I'm never in danger of...
What if somebody drops salmon on the tray table before you and it wasn't cleaned off and you put your hand in it and you put your fingers up your nose like you do?
It doesn't work that way with salmon. I go to dinner all the time with people who have salmon. You can't inhale salmon fumes and...
Oh, come on, play along. Shellfish, milk, peanuts, and tree nuts are among the most common allergies. And the people in this story are complaining. Matthew Picker, a 20-year-old college student, is allergic to peanuts and tree nuts. During a September trip, he took 4 American Airlines flights. One of his return flights, he says the gate agent said he couldn't pre-board. He says that's a violation of the carrier's policy. On 2 other flights, they allowed him to board early after initially hesitating. And while cleaning his seat, he found his tray table covered in crumbs from an unknown food. Could have killed him.
Don't
you understand this?
It wasn't peanut litter,
though. He doesn't know.
Oh, he's 20 and he's a guy?
Oh, you're not going to do the guy thing again.
No, that's a wiener. You know that.
You're going to do the guy thing.
No, that's exactly right. A 20-year-old guy, he's worried about unknown food dust on his tray?
Yes, because... All right, here's a woman. Marissa Williamson, 21-year-old college student. You're all college students.
Oh, that is a wiener generation, isn't it?
She said she got removed from a flight because she disclosed her nut allergy. All I ask is that they made a verbal announcement over the intercom for people around me to be aware. And they pulled me off the flight.
Nobody wants to deal with this. There's some people, I swear.
Somebody would be tempted to throw a peanut at her. You know how people are.
There's some people who have like a peanut allergy phobias. They think they're allergic to things. I know this is true.
You do.
Yes, they just convince themselves.
There are people I know that love to tell you they have allergies because it just sounds like a disability. We should all go, oh.
Exactly. They've got a sense of victimhood now, which is, I guess, the most important thing that everyone covets. It's like, I want to be a victim. And when you're not an obvious candidate for victimhood, you have to make something up that's unprovable, right? We're just supposed to believe them. Because you're going to see now, everybody wants to pre-board. And one day they're going to announce pre-boarding for those with allergies, and you're going to see 200 people run for the entrance all at once. That's ridiculous.
They say allergic reactions account to 2 to 4% of in-flight medical events.
Yeah, but there's very few in-flight medical events.
Right. So that's right. So 2 to 4% of them
it's like,
are allergic reactions. So that's a smaller list.
Two to 4% of nothing.
Right. Well, it's
you
just,
know,
I'm waiting for this announcement now. Those of you with food allergies may now board to clean your tray table and your seats.
Why don't you just drive? Because, and I know why the airlines don't want these people on the flight, because that's also a personality type where they make a fuss about a lot of things. Yeah. If you think that random crumbs on your tray table is going to lead to a peanut allergy attack, you got 100 other things going on.
All right. When we come back, we'll be talking to David Goldstein, investigative reporter, and he's going to tell us about his upcoming story for tomorrow's KCAL News Mornings at 7 a.m. About a big waste of money at LA Unified School District. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark Live, the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.